Ryan can tell his joke.
Do what?
Then what can I do? Tell my joke again?
Yeah. Tell your joke again. But maybe
no, I'm not telling it again.
Because this is Council Cast, episode 148, being recorded on December 8th, 2020. The council is now in session, and as with every week, we will make arbitrary decisions about topics on science, technology, and random shit.
Random shit?
There we go.
That delay, his delay gets longer and longer, plus his actual video delay is now off. And so the video audio, it was perfect. There was just delay for ages. That was the peak of that joke too, Logan. So, you know, go back to saying it just like a normal time now. It's not going to be funnier than that ever.
And you can now hear a bunch of guys talk about stuff with no expertise. All council cast decisions are final and have no bearing on anything whatsoever.
Random shit.
Wait a minute. We used to have little to no expertise. Now we have no expertise.
Yeah, you know, I think last week Matt had said that we don't have any expertise, so I'm just going with that now.
Well, the math's the authority on everything, so.
Yep. What's up?
Yep.
It's been defined.
I'm trying to figure out how to make this shit work. I don't understand.
Well, generally, you just punch the numbers you need, and then it'll give you the answer. It's called a calculator.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Yeah, that must be how the this company came up with the idea.
You're the man now, dog.
Which can apparently take you to space.
I would not have believed that a space balloon can take you to space.
You wouldn't ride
I think
a space
it,
balloon?
It looks pretty cool, honestly.
Yeah, apparently a new company, Space Perspective, is planning on taking space tourists to the edge of space in a capsule that's suspended beneath a gigantic balloon.
Space tourists.
Yep. Did they hire Michael Bay to do their promotional photos?
Maybe.
I'm just looking at all the lens flare.
There is
and
lens flare.
They did have a real live astronaut talk about it, didn't they?
An astronaut?
Astronaut. Astronaut.
Sure.
I said it right.
An astronaut.
Astard.
But yeah, apparently they are planning on actually doing an uncrewed test flight sometime in 2021 using a pressurized vehicle underneath this gigantic balloon. The interesting thing is that apparently it can carry up to a pilot and 8 passengers. I'm not sure why you need a pilot on a balloon, but sure. It'll take you 2 hours to go up to 30 kilometers, which is about above 99% of the atmosphere. And at that point,
I don't
the
be a good
balloon
pilot.
Will be the diameter of a U.S. football field. It'll be 100 yards long.
That's huge. It's a huge fucking balloon.
It's a huge
Wait a minute. It's how big is it again?
Really fucking big.
Oh. Oh, thank you. And now I understand. Thanks, Matt.
So yeah, the actual capsule itself is only 5 meters across. So you know, perspective here. But yeah, you can ride 2 hours up, 2 hours down, ride a balloon to space.
Pretty
they're
cool.
Apparently going to start selling tickets. So if you're interested, you can buy tickets sometime next year. They're only going to cost about $125,000 per passenger.
Not bad.
I wonder how much.
What's that cost per
100?
What's that cost per hour?
I thought you said $25 per person.
$125.
Actually, it seems like it'd
20.
Be a pretty good job to get because then you wouldn't have to pay the price. You could be the pilot. You can get paid to do that.
I mean, I imagine being a pilot is probably pretty easy. You just hit a button that says go up and then hit a button that says go down.
So
I'll bet
about
not.
This. I have a lot of questions. First of all, how dare you?
How can I
Second
become
of all,
a balloon pilot?
Yeah, how do you become a balloon pilot? Third, and more importantly, don't people get in trouble for taking balloons on just like hooking a bunch of balloons with helium on them and strapping them to your lawn chair, they get in trouble. How are these people not getting in trouble?
Isn't that the movie Money, Up, Silas?
Silas, there's this thing called money that if you have enough of it, they don't care.
Hmm. I think this is sponsored by NASA, and their whole thing about is going to space. So
I don't think this is sponsored by NASA.
I think NASA is doing this whole thing as a publicity stunt to get people interested in outer space. It's a big NASA thing.
It's a recruitment thing for Space Force.
Space Force.
So the propaganda is what you're saying.
What happens? I'm just wondering this. What happens if when they get up to the top that wouldn't it just keep going? I mean,
No,
pointing
because
to the outer space.
I don't think so.
Because they're going to be hooked up on that space cable that Elon Musk is setting up. The balloon is just for show.
No, but seriously, wouldn't it just, I mean, what's keeping it from, does anyone understand science enough on this stupid show that can tell us why that the balloon is going to stop just magically at the edge of space? Is there some sort of barrier or something?
I did think about this as I read this article. Like, can you actually escape Earth by not moving? Like, can you just ride a balloon up? And I think the answer is no, because once you hit space, there's no more air. The balloon doesn't go up in space. The balloon is only going up because it's in an atmosphere, and I think the atmosphere is going to be the limit.
What about the momentum?
Or what happens if they release the gas from the balloon too fast, and then it just starts going?
You might end up in space.
Drags everyone with it.
That's
lawsuit. That's what
lawsuit.
Thumbs down for lawsuit balloons. I don't want any part of that.
And I think you're right. I don't think there is enough. I think there's enough momentum for it to kind of keep floating upward, but I think at worst case scenario it'd enter orbit and just sit in a very low orbit and maybe not come back down.
That's interesting.
That would take a lot of
real worst case scenario.
Think about this. You have the helium balloons in your house that you get for like your birthday or whatever, and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, so I'll just let it sit there until it essentially dies. How long would a football field sized helium balloon take to sink back down to Earth? Weeks? Years?
A regular helium balloon takes a day and a half, so multiply a regular helium balloon
by a football field.
By a football field, and then do the day and a half thing, and then tell us how long it would take.
Do it yourself.
Oh, shit!
I think it would be a long time because I have a balloon in my living room right now that's still floating and it's 2 months old. So I think it would take a long time.
Oh, wow.
So I have one of Mylar helium balloons get delivered to me at work one time for my birthday.
By mistake, obviously.
Yeah. And the question was, how long would it stick around? And it sat there and hung for fucking ever. It was like at least 6 months.
Before it touched ground?
Yeah, before it. So like at some point it started to get really sad. And like you didn't even need to have it really tied to anything anymore. It would just listlessly like float about the building at like normal height, just like in the currents of the air handlers. Yeah.
So for the rest of your natural life, you could be floating around the Earth in this giant balloon.
Entirely possible.
Wow.
I imagine there'd be one crazy who'd try and crawl outside and cut the string just to end it for everyone.
Just poke a hole in the balloon and just float back down.
Just
safely
hope for the best.
Earth.
Oh, no, we've already gone over why you don't want to poke a hole in the balloon.
Poke a hole in the balloon.
Because then you end up with balloon lawsuits. We all know that.
Yeah. Isn't helium like a commodity that is going away? Isn't it? Like, an
helium,
endangered species.
I've been hearing
commodity?
That for years, that it's that it is, if someone could figure out how to to create from scratch helium, that it would be huge for scientific research and medical technology, because they need it for like MRIs,
like,
or something.
Like synthetic helium or something like that?
Yeah.
That's what big helium wants you to think.
Two hydrogen atoms together. Who's making this balloon?
Eat more chicken.
Who's making the balloons? The company's called
Space Bird.
Mylar.
Eric, know that this is a much more interesting conversation than poop knives.
That was awesome. Can we talk about that again?
Can we pop a helium balloon with a poop knife?
Disagree.
I am definitely giving this balloon a thumbs down because of all the reasons I've stated.
I say thumbs up because if I had the money, I would go on this trip because I want to sit on the edge of space, but I don't want to go up as fast as a rocket would take me there. It's just too fast, like a roller coaster. I hate roller coasters. So I like the idea of a giant balloon just floating me up gently for, you know, just a 2-hour ride and then back down. I think it'd be amazing. Thumbs up.
I think I'm going to give it a thumbs up too. I would probably ride it, but I think I'm going to turn this into my Elon Musk pitch. So I'll save that for later. Mm.
Go NASA. Way to go on the balloon thing.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Thumbs up for space.
Well, you know, maybe if you do go to space, whether you're in this balloon or not, you may actually start aging faster instead of slower. So apparently a bunch of researchers found out that being in outer space accelerates aging. So maybe if you are living on this balloon on the edge of space, maybe you actually have a shorter life to live. You'll just die faster.
All the more reason to do it.
How much faster?
You got a shorter life?
You see, I saw the movie Interstellar, and it seems like the answer to that is black holes.
So what?
Black holes?
Black holes.
Black holes. Grab your tongue and say that.
Black holes. Were you trying to get me to say asshole?
I can't do it. Well, no, I wouldn't do that.
His face, your face got so, so scared for a second about it.
What? Assholes? No.
Weren't you the one that was telling poop jokes just or butt jokes like a half hour ago?
I told a monkey joke.
That involved him eating things that were hard to poop out.
If you want to be privy to our pre-show conversations, go check us out on patreon.com. You can join our Patreon and show up for the pre-show conversations to get jokes like the monkey joke.
We don't have pre-show conversations.
You're right, we don't. But
Not yet.
You're right.
Not yet.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait very long, too, if you're from space, because you might age faster. So
this understand is how this is possible.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious though, like
there aren't a lot of people like, to
do they have
this.
a rate at how much older? Because I know that they're trying to figure that out for like going to Mars and stuff. And when they decide to go visit Pluto, not a planet, just for fun, they want to know if they can last that long or if they're going to like be like Benjamin Button in reverse.
Visit Pluto. Pluto's not a planet.
I think it was the 1 in 7 like dogs. That was the thing, right? Blaine, that's what the article said.
1 in 7 of what? That you'll hit another planet?
No. That you'll age 7 years for every one for a normal Earth-living human.
Yeah, so you turn your dog, your life years,
turn into dog life years when you go into outer space. So there's you could not.
You spend a year in outer space, you age 7 years?
Yes, thank you.
You know, I spent about all of 2 minutes reading this article just now, and
I spent less time reading it
as an expert, and it definitely does not say 7 years per 1 year.
Oh, I'm sorry, I spent less time reading it than you did. I was pretty sure it said 7 years.
Seven. There are zero instances of the number 7, or the word written out as 7. Maybe 7 of 9. Nope, not on this page either.
Well, in all fairness, I read the title, so...
Okay.
You know, it doesn't say exactly how much shorter your life will be or how quickly you'll age, but it just says, you know, that you might age faster.
But they had twins, didn't they? That went up there and they measured the one twin that was down on Earth and the other one that was up in outer space, and that's how they kind of determined that the one twin was... He was 7 years younger than the other twin when he came back.
Yes, it comes down to twin science, like the movie with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Hey, you know what? Thumbs up for that movie. That was ahead of its time.
You know, I'm going to give this whole article a thumbs down because, you know, they don't tell me how much faster you'll age. So I don't know if I should be going there or not.
This is true.
Seven. Brian thinks it's seven. If you would like to tell us how fast you think that this would age, you can go tweet us at RealCouncilCast on Twitter.
Yeah, thumbs down.
You know, maybe if you age fast enough, though, you wouldn't have to wait as long for Apple to release their 32-core processor for high-end.
Finally.
Mac, coming sometime in 2022.
That's a 32 long
Apple
time.
Cores in a row.
It could arrive as early as spring 2021, though.
Apple's never on time.
That's a big time gap. So maybe we do need to spend some time in space.
Oh, but no, it could appear in Mac in late 2020. Wait, late 2021, 2022, or spring 2021. This article does not know anything about when this is showing up.
So
neither does
that. What could you do with a 32-core Apple processor?
No,
well, not play Fortnite on the latest patch.
The article says the 32-core one, late 2021 or 2022. The 16-core, the half size, in spring of 2021. You just read all the dates and said it applies to all.
Or is it is it half size or is it double
hey,
the current M1?
I never claim to be someone who sits down and can read, okay? I'm on the council cast. That's all I claim.
They're calling it a half size, not double M1. Half of the full size 32.
That would be super awesome if they could do that. It would also be super awesome if I decided to learn how to use Final Cut Pro. But I don't know if I see that happening anytime soon.
Maybe you will when you see the performance gains in Final Cut Pro on this new Mac processor.
What I'm more interested in is to see how Adobe Creative Suite is able to harness the power of the M1 chip. And if they're able to harness the power of the M1 chip and still double my speeds from what I have right now, even if it's a fourth of what I would get out of the Mac, I probably would still stick with the Adobe Creative Suite.
You know, I can't imagine that they wouldn't be able to make it work because they're already doing Creative Suite on the iPad, aren't they?
The word harness.
They are, yeah.
So I don't think that would take them a whole lot to jump to their own chip, I would imagine, because that's already a... Apple chip.
The thing is, like, Premiere Pro is still a single core. It still runs off of one core.
Which is retarded.
So.
I don't like the word retarded so much. That's how much energy I have for this conversation right now.
Oh, sorry. M1 chips. I'll give it a thumbs up. Apple products. Yay, Apple.
Here's my biggest question about this. Intel for years said, no, you can't do anything more than four cores. AMD came out with a big middle finger and said, look at our 8-core, 16-core, and
32-core.
They do have a 32-core, yeah.
They've got a 32-core in customer space.
Yeah. Yeah. No, consumer grade products. And real cheap too. And then Intel's like, oh well, you know, I guess we can do the same thing.
And they found out that they couldn't.
Yeah. And they kind of get there, right? They've got like some pretty fast 16 core processors. but how is it that we've been so wrong for so long?
Why is Apple so late to the game?
The 3990 Threadripper is actually a 64 core.
Oh yeah, they do have the 64, don't they?
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody knew this.
Intel was lying to us this entire time. I think they just decided they were just going to sit on their fat sacks of cash and just kept lying to the world, saying, "Hey, you know,
they didn't have any competition. Best.
We have no competition. We'll just do whatever we want." And I think they got too lazy.
Honestly, they never even changed the architecture. They should have at least upgraded the architecture to increase efficiency of the cores that they already had.
Okay, so how deep down this rabbit hole do we want to go?
Not very deep right now.
5 minutes worth of deepness.
Okay, so
time starts now.
Intel ties their architecture to their process. So they're on their 14 nanometer process right now. And go to their next architecture, they have to go to the 10 nanometer. The 10 nanometer has been a massive fuck up. They have not been able to get yields that they can actually sell chips at the 10 nanometer for the past 4 years. So they're actually backporting from the 10 nanometer architecture to 14 for the next generation laptop processors. Massive overhaul to get that done. And they're basically skipping the 10th nanometer and going to 7. Well, the 7 isn't working out so well for them either. So TSMC, their major competitor in the fabrication world, has jumped from their 28 to their 14 down to the 7 in the 5 nanometer processes in the time Intel has been stuck on their ass on 14. So that's why Intel has not been able to do anything. That and their 14 nanometer process is so mature at this point that moving to a 10 nanometer isn't going to be an upgrade. It'll actually be slower than their current 14 nanometer process.
Yeah, I swear to you, I'm going to use the word nanometer in a sentence tomorrow.
Unlike most people, which the logical solution is come up with an architecture and then shrink it, and then make an architecture change and shrink it, Intel has tied shrinkages with new architectures. And so they found out they couldn't do it at the same time when they went to 10 nanometer.
Intel. It's all very funny to me.
Where is Matt?
He's invisible.
He's probably pooping.
Is he on the floor?
We're talking about we're talking about nanometers and 32 core processors, and Matt's invisible. That's how far advanced he is than us. Oh, he's laying on the floor.
Well, I am really excited about these M1 chips, and that they are announcing that they're bringing them to their pro lineup of products, because I think that
that's right, we were talking Apple, sorry.
I think that it's going to it could change the game for them. It could do nothing for them. We've seen them make horrendous decisions in the past. Remember those different colored Macs that were in every school everywhere because they couldn't get anyone else to buy them, so they gave them at education discounts of like, here, to just take them and we'll give you $5. So everyone had those Apple computers. You remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the free iMacs.
Yeah, so they were not great.
It's a thumbs up for Apple as they're stripping themselves, well, attempting to strip themselves of dependency on outside manufacturers.
Yeah, I say thumbs up that they're doing something new. Nice for them. Good for them.
The chips are probably still OEM from somewhere else, but
nope,
they figured out how to put it all on.
No, they made it themselves.
Really?
Yeah, they license the ARM.
I was impressed with the word nanometer, so come on, guys.
They have their own in-house engineers that design the chip. They've been doing this since for a while 8 years now. Yeah.
But they've just been doing it for
their mobile.
For what?
I'm really interested to see how this works for their high-powered desktops. I mean, I think You know, ARM obviously has some benefits in low power processing, and obviously that's the case when you're talking phones and I'd say even laptops. So I think that, you know, laptops is obviously a good first choice for them, but how that scales up power wise for power users is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I think I heard somebody talking about it, even if they connect it to a power source, like if they connect it and set it up the same way that they would do a traditional chip so that they had it hooked up to a bandwidth that would accept more power, it would perform that much better. I think it was Linus Tech was talking about it. They're like, yeah, this is great for low power usage. However, think about the possibilities when they do hook it up to power and you're not worried about power consumption at that point. It could be magical or it could be nothing. You're like, okay,
yeah,
thanks.
I'm interested to see how it scales with power.
Yeah.
Because other people have tried to make higher power ARM chips. AMD had a license that tried to make it into the server space. They ended up dumping that after like 2 years because they couldn't get it to work right.
Well, and I think
a couple other people have tried it.
Yeah, high powered ARM is probably not the right. I mean, I think they talk about 128 processors. I mean, that's probably the way they're going to go is just throw
a. I mean, here's a high powered ARM.
Yeah. You can't compete with that. So,
so just a bazillion low powered cores, and then write actual code that is multi threaded, which Apple can do because they write their own operating system for the hardware. Yep.
You know, I do. I give them a thumbs up for trying it. I'll give it a tentative thumbs up because we'll see how it works.
I think it's a thumbs up for Apple, but I'm giving it a thumbs down just because it's Apple.
Well, you know, that's your right to vote.
Well, you know, staying in the vein of computers, though, is that apparently if you don't want an AMD or a Apple powered laptop, you can get an AMD powered laptop. But apparently, according to Intel, they found out that AMD was delaying their performance boosts. To apparently save battery life and power draw.
Okay, I'm going to just stop you right here.
I'm waiting for Dave to jump in.
So the only devices that Intel tested were Lenovo-based. It is the OEMs that can set the delay on the performance boost and how quickly it does. So this is an IBM, or not IBM, Lenovo decision in their BIOS to set this performance delay. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with AMD. It is Lenovo that is making this decision.
Thumbs down for AMD.
So
in the case of Intel just lying to us some more, though, I mean, I think this is just a great, they're trying to figure out how can they make it spin good for them. And it's like you guys picked a super edge case. Where somebody specifically decided to do this.
Some marketing asshole decided, yes, let's jump on this performance metrics when it gets published, and then the entire tech community looks at it and says, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, marketing guys are the worst.
This is just dumb, and it has nothing to do with Intel being better, and it actually makes Intel look worse because they are spreading false information.
So, hey, I got an idea.
I hate Intel. They're the worst.
Well, if you take a nasty Pop-Tart and you can take a Pop-Tart and fill it with nasty meat, you cook it in a sleeve thing.
The worst part is, though, I mean,
don't get in the toilet.
It's not like Intel isn't playing their own games on laptops either. Because, I mean, the article that if you read the rest of this is they talk about Intel's basically playing games with their own power consumption. So they almost double the power consumption of their processors.
Nobody thought I'd catch him, but I did.
You caught him? You figured
it what?
Out.
Oh, Logan, you're lagging so much. Poor Logan.
Get a new computer.
get an AMD one so it delays. Wait.
Yeah, get a new 64-core AMD processor.
Can you plug your camera into your phone?
But yeah, so apparently, you know, Intel's doing their own stuff where they're running a a 36-watt processor at 51 watts during their boost. So they basically are like, yeah, you can let your CPU boost to like 100 degrees. It's totally fine. don't worry about it. Yes.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, I give AMD a thumbs up for doing whatever they need to, I guess.
I give Intel thumbs down.
Give marketing guys thumbs down.
That's only fair. you know, speaking of marketing, though, is nothing's better than shooting a gnome into space, which is apparently what Gabe Newell at Valve Software has done by blasting Noam Chomsky into space.
I kind of was hoping that the gnome was strapped to the front of the ship. That would have been hilarious.
It wouldn't have made it aerodynamic, and it would have crashed. So
does this mean Gabe finally gets the launch the gnome into space achievement in Half-Life?
Yeah, in Ep 2?
Is it episode whatever? Episode 2, yeah.
Yeah, yep, finally.
Nice. IRL.
So yeah,
somebody should have given him a plaque that had the achievement on it when it launched.
I wouldn't doubt it if somebody did that. but yeah, he worked with Rocket Labs to apparently send a garden gnome up into space on one of their rockets and back. Unfortunately, it does not return. It says, sadly, it will burn up on re-entry like a space Viking funeral.
Hey, thumbs up for Chomsky.
The whole thing is a thumbs up. I love it.
Yeah, apparently awesome. He said, so on top of that, he did say Gabe Newell was going to donate $1 for every person who watched the video of the rocket launch within 24 hours of the launch. So, you know, good for him for doing something good on that.
Thumbs up for space.
Thumbs up for space.
You know, if you didn't want to go to space, though, I know we've talked a lot about going to space this episode, is, you know, maybe you're concerned about radiation, and maybe people on Earth are more concerned about, you know, 5G radiation.
5G?
I'm not concerned about radiation at all. I keep this thing in my pocket at all time.
Well, if you are concerned about it, you know, you can buy, and people are selling these Faraday cages that can go around your Wi-Fi router, because apparently a lot of Wi-Fi routers are starting to build in 5G connectivity, and people are freaking out because they're like, oh, 5G is bad, so they put a Faraday cage. You can buy them online today.
What? No, wait.
Councilcast.org. What? Put a link up.
What bad things? What bad things can happen as a result of using 5G?
Well, I think it causes
COVID.
COVID. Okay.
That can happen in terms of using a Faraday cage is that people get pissed off that their Wi-Fi stops working.
Oh.
It's you're not putting a Faraday cage around your router. You are putting a filter that blocks all 5G radiation around your filter. It just happens to be the same thing.
So now, wait a minute. What else does 5G cause?
It causes increases in wireless network speeds.
I looked it up on the computer, and I think what you have is network connectivity problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently.
How many of these have they sold, and how many do you think we could sell?
So I looked at these, and they're basically just baskets. Wire baskets that look like they hold papers that you put on a desk with a hole cut out of it and with a grommet put in, and they're selling them for like $60 to $80 a pop.
Wow.
So you buy like a $5 basket off of AliExpress. Well,
what? No, in this tweet it says like $90 for the one. $100.
That one, but if you search for on Amazon, there are a lot more now from a bunch of different companies.
So you stick this thing, you stick your router in there, and then nothing works.
Yeah. So I love the reviews. It says one person reviewed it 1 star. This box does work at keeping radiation in, but also Wi-Fi will not work unless you're in the same room as the router. It decreases the signal by 90%. We really wanted to like it, but it was impossible to use our phones in any other room of the house. No shit.
So I think we could probably just repurpose this basket and we would make what it's called a net profit.
Oh, you know what? We could have a basket that's 90% proof, and then you could have like a wooden basket that's like 50% proof, and like a wicker basket, like 20%.
This is guaranteed to keep your Wi-Fi safe from UFOs. Just put it over top of your Wi-Fi router. Your internet is then secure from aliens and UFOs.
Or you could make like a blanket that you can cover over your router that blocks all cellular Wi-Fi or cellular 5G signals. Because your router doesn't put any out, you can just have it be a blanket or a sheet and sell them for like $80.
Couldn't you just buy a roll of tinfoil and just wrap it all around it for like $2-$3?
This has design. This is like a well-designed basket, and I think people would have like higher faith in it as a legitimate product. If you just say it's a blanket, people would be like, I don't know. But this, you could just say there. It has, I don't know, whatever.
Mystical crystalline properties.
Oh, but you could say Faraday basket that's green and just have it be a wicker basket.
You know, I think I have a better solution for people. If you want to block your Wi-Fi signal, I could sell you a hammer.
Hey, no, $200
hammer.
Two thumbs up for using the hammer.
I think we sell the basket, like a wicker basket, and we put a crystal on the lid and say that the crystal infuses the basket with to attract all of the negative radiation.
Crystals are awesome. Thumbs up for crystals.
That makes sense.
And we sell them for, I don't know, $200 pop on a nice looking $10 basket with a crystal that we buy in bulk for $0.04 a piece.
Next generation, we could sell them crystalline entities that can be hung outside the basket.
Sure. It's kind of like accessorize your Faraday cage.
Buy your Faraday cage and then get a crystalline entity that you can hang around your neck.
Yeah.
And that's not all.
Full on thumbs down. Thumbs down on this.
Thumbs up for the idiots that bought it.
Oh my gosh.
Thumbs up. Indeed.
All right. Well, I think we're going to move on to our Elon Musk pitches for the week. Apparently, I was stupid enough to accidentally launch Microsoft Flight Simulator. Oops.
Right now?
All right. So anyway, we will pitch for Elon Musk. I'm gonna start off mine today because I do have one. Which is, I'm riffing off that space balloon. Is that he should? You know, he's launching rockets from Earth, and I think that's great. But you know, I think I remember hearing that it takes the most amount of energy to get up from Earth to the edge of the atmosphere. And that's why rockets are so big. Maybe he should pair up with these guys and have them take his rockets to the edge of space. And then he can launch them from there. And then they can
that's
do
a
space tourists
great
at the
idea.
Same time, and you can watch the rocket launch happen.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so cool. Oh man, I want that to be my idea.
I like that idea. I don't have an idea now. That's the best idea right there. That's the thumbs up idea of the night.
Thumbs up idea of the night. All right. I guess Brian's just gonna glom onto that one.
I'm not saying this is my idea. I'm saying I'm not even gonna try. That's amazing.
All right. Well, who's going to try? Who wants to go next?
I don't want to go after that. Who would want to go after that? Who can top? Who can top that? Nobody can top that. No one.
I had an idea for, you know, on Willy Wonka, when he had the everlasting gobstoppers.
Are we talking Johnny Depp or?
No, the original.
Whichever one had everlasting gobstoppers.
The original.
I want Elon Musk to make like an everlasting pen.
Gene Wilder, that's his name.
Mm-hmm. Everlasting pen stoppers. Name is working title, but essentially a pen that never runs out of ink or whatever other material you can write with. And, you know, and never is a term that can be loosely abided by here. I would be happy with 50 to 60 years worth of life out of this pen and call it everlasting.
All of my pens last the life of the ink. The ink lasts the life of the pen. Mm. I've never had a pen run out of ink.
Do you ever write anything?
Yes, I end up losing the pen before it runs out of ink.
I see. Okay.
So Dave doesn't need an everlasting pen, he just needs an ever-present pen.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Ever-present, everlasting pen.
Ever-present, everlasting pen.
Dave got the ever-present pen. All right.
I think the balloon idea is still way better than the everlasting pen.
Ouch.
I don't even know why you tried.
So for Silas, I want to know, do you never have to refill this pen, or can it just be refilled with anything?
Never have to refill. Like, you buy it, and like I said, I'm okay if it lasts like 50 or 60 years, and you're like, oh wow, the everlasting pen finally died right after grandpa died, you know, that sort of thing. I had this pen since I was in college, you know,
I'll bet that if you did make something like that, it wouldn't be filled with ink.
Yeah, I don't know what it would be filled with. An octopus? Maybe there's an actual living octopus in the pen creating ink for its entire life.
Wow.
Something. I'm not sure how it's made.
Smart? That'd be like cruel and unusual punishment, because those are intelligent creatures.
Maybe they can write your papers for
you. They get a job.
I don't know. I don't know.
Would those be legal for taking Hogwarts exams? If they write...
If you can get it past the professors, anything's legal in Hogwarts.
Okay.
I've heard that.
Fair enough. And then Dave's got the ever-present pen, which can never be lost, apparently.
But can we combine them?
Nope.
Oh, you could either have one that writes forever or one that you never lose. The ink runs out immediately on that one, though. You're just like, well, I still have it, but it doesn't write anything.
It doesn't write anymore. That's what watches are. Everyone's got a drawer full of watches that don't work.
All right, who else has a pitch for Mr. Musk tonight? Matt probably would like a light bulb that actually works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on. The light bulb works.
How about a smart light bulb that is easy to set up?
Yeah, you know, one that you just screw into the socket and then turn it on with a switch.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Boring. Matt is not even paying attention. He has his headphones turned off.
All right. Logan,
no, I don't.
Pitch for us? Better internet.
Some of that better Starlink career action.
I'd like Elon Musk to create an internet service that I don't have to cancel my existing service and order a new one just to get a technician to come out the next day.
So got basically it. You want an ever technician.
He wants an
internet who just lives in your house.
He wants an internet that works and doesn't break down every other week.
I want it to be.
He's working on that.
I want the option
next
of an ever technician, or
makes sense.
Or
would you say every time they come out? Would you say every time they come out?
I want a technician with the same options as our pen that we just came up with.
Ever present, or he never runs out.
Yeah, so he never stops working, or he never stops leaving you like he'll just like stalk you for the rest of your life and never do anything, or he will continue to work.
So
Logan said
when
that
you're
every
getting
time
ready to go to bed, you climb into bed and he's just sitting in the corner looking at
that's
you,
just
watching
creepy.
You fall asleep.
Do you need any internet issues fixed right now?
Yes,
I'll be
please.
Here literally all night.
And then he crawls in and starts cuddling with you.
I want an ever-present technician.
Well, Logan said that every time the tech comes out that they say on that little report that, yeah, ran an entire new cable all the way from the apartment all the way down to wherever, and that's not possible. It's just
not possible.
It's not possible. It just doesn't happen. So, Matt, you got that light fixed yet?
You're growing, Matt. Holy shit.
It's a dinosaur.
Growth spurt.
Oh, it's a turtle.
All right. I think with that, I'm going to go ahead and call this council meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We do record this podcast live Tuesday nights on YouTube. If you want to come check us out live, you can figure out what time we're streaming. Good luck to you. Otherwise, you can probably check us out on your favorite podcatcher, iTunes, anywhere else you can find us, or go to councilcast.org. If you have a topic that you would like the council's decision on, you can email us at councilcast@gmail.com or connect with us on Twitter @RealCouncilCast. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.